Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to the ABCs of the Bible radio program. In our last program, we started to talk about the practical applications of living under the New Covenant. And the first practical application we talked about is that we don't need to walk around with a guilty conscience because of our sins. Now, why is that? Well, it's because under the new covenant, we can be forgiven of our sins. God has given us forgiveness of our sins. That's right. That means whether you are a rapist or a racist, whether you are a murderer or an embezzler, no matter what your sins are, God will forgive you of your sins if, and that's a big word, if you repent of your sins. And repentance simply means to hate your old way of life, hate those sins, turn away from those sins, turn away from that way of life, and accept by faith that you have forgiveness of sins. Just ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you can have this forgiveness of sins because Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ, of course, is God. He's the Son of God, but He's also God. And all things were created through Jesus the Christ when He was the Word. And so since all things were created through Him, by the Father, and through Him, since that is the case, that means that His life, and consequently His death, that life and death is more valuable than every life combined. So therefore, again, no matter what sin you have committed, God is big enough and He is willing enough to forgive you of your sins if you repent. So we don't have to walk around with a guilty conscience saying, oh man, I've done this, how could God ever forgive me? No, God will forgive you. Just repent and accept by faith that you have forgiveness of sins. Now, what is the second practical application of living under the new covenant? Well, it is that we don't have to walk around anymore trying to measure up to some standard. No, God has already said that in His eyes, if we have repented of our sins, if we have asked God to forgive us of our sins, God has done that. And then the second thing He will do is He will give us righteousness. So we don't have to try to measure up to some standard of perfection because God has already given us perfection. He's given us perfect righteousness. And actually, the way God defines righteousness, righteousness is, by definition, 100% perfection. Righteousness is sinlessness. In God's eyes, a person is not righteous if they keep the law for 999 days, and then on the 1,000th day, they slip up and they sin. And then they keep the law for another 999 days, and then they slip up on the 2000th day and they sin. No, that's not righteousness. God's righteousness is you have to live righteously 999 days, then on the 1000th day, you have to live righteously. Another 999 days, you have to live righteously. Then on the 2000th day, you have to live righteously, and you have to live righteously all the rest of your life. And nobody can do that. Nobody can live a 100% sinless life. So, in other words, no one can be righteous of their own accord, of their own works. There's no amount of doing good that will get us to that point of righteousness, which is 100% sinlessness, which is perfection. No. God has to give that to us, and God has given that to us. So therefore, we don't have to walk around saying, oh, woe is me. You know, I made a mistake here, and I'm striving to be right, and I just can't do it. Okay, so you've repented of your sins. You're no longer walking in that way of life. You've got that part down pat. You know that God has forgiven you. But still, you're lingering with this burden of, I'm striving to do right, but I keep slipping up. I'm not purposely doing wrong. I'm not doing it out of malice. It's just a weakness, and I seem not to be able to overcome it. Well, that's okay, actually. God understands that you're going to slip up. Now, I am not saying that you can take it easy and say, oh, well, you know, I can do this because God's going to forgive me. He's so gracious and merciful. God knows how weak I am. No. You do need to, with all of your heart, might, and soul, all of your mind, with all of your being, with all of your effort, every ounce, you need to be striving to do what's right, but knowing that you are doing it because you love God and because you love your neighbors, that it's not because you're trying to measure up to some standard. All right, now, just a common example would be this. Let's say that you have loving parents and you have wise parents. So your parents, they're not going to say to you, listen, you need to, when you're playing baseball, you need to get a base hit every time you get up there, or you need to get a walk, one thing or another. You have to get on base every time you step up into the batter's box. You either have to get a walk to get to first base, or you have to get a base hit to get to first base. Your parents aren't going to say that. They know that you're not perfect. Now, do they expect for you to try to get a hit or to try to earn a walk? Of course, that's why you're in the game. And if you have a love for the game, if you have a love for your teammates, then that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to try your best to get a hit every time up, or to earn a walk every time up. But at the same time, if you don't do that, you know that it's not a matter of, well, you can't play this game anymore, you're kicked out, or you're going to be kicked off the team. No. If you have loving parents, they want you to strive to do your best. But because they know that you are not perfect, they're going to say, that's okay. You know, you didn't do it this time. Strive again next time to do it. I love you regardless. And that's God's nature. God loves you so much that He wants you to know that you don't have to be perfect. He knows that you're not going to be perfect in the sense of never making a mistake. God, though, says, I have given you perfection so that you don't have to walk around with that thought that you have to always be trying to measure up to some standard that's impossible to measure up to. All you have to do is strive to do your best. Now let's look at a couple of scriptures to prove this. In Romans the 10th chapter and verses 1 through 5. This is in Romans the 10th chapter verses 1 through 5. It shows how Israel had the old covenant mentality of striving to keep the law perfectly, to measure up to some standard of righteousness. It says here in Romans 10 verses 1 through 5, and this is Paul speaking to other Israelites. He says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God on behalf of the Jews is that they would be saved. For I can testify on their behalf that they have a zeal for God. But, so they're striving to do what's right. They're putting a lot of energy into it. But it is not in keeping with full knowledge. In other words, they're missing something. They're not understanding something. They are ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God. So instead, what they're doing is they're trying to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted to God's righteousness. Now notice this next part. For Christ, Jesus Christ, is the end of using the law as a method of obtaining righteousness. And it's the end of that way of living for everyone who believes. And that's the key. You have to believe. You have to accept by faith. Believe that God has given you righteousness. All right, in verse 5 it says, "For Moses writes of the righteousness that comes from keeping the law, saying that the man who does those things, he shall live by them." In other words, if you want to make this your standard of righteousness, 100% keeping of the law, then you go ahead and do that. But I'm telling you, that's the wrong way to go about it. Now in verse, in chapter 5, in Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, this is what God wants. In Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, this is the new covenant approach. It says, "But God's free gift is not like Adam's offense," and this is the gift of righteousness. It's not like Adam's offense. "For if many people died as a result of one man's offense," so Adam sinned, "and because of Adam's sin, death has passed upon everyone." But God's free gift is not like that. It doesn't operate in the same way. Because it says, "How much more, as compared to Adam's offense, how much more shall many people be made righteous through the kindness and the free gift that's given by one man, which is Jesus Christ? The sentence that followed one man's offense, which is Adam, brought condemnation. But the sentence that followed one man's righteousness, which is Jesus Christ, brought justification even after many offenses." So even after many offenses, God says, "I am willing to give you the gift of righteousness to not only wipe out those offenses, but to count you as not having any offenses." In other words, to be 100% righteous. That's God's approach. And it's for everyone who accepts Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who lived a perfectly sinless, or in other words, 100% righteous life. So if we accept Christ's righteousness, then God looks at us, because Christ is in us, and he sees Christ's righteousness, not our lack of righteousness, not our offenses. So it's a matter of attitude, of perspective. We have to think the way God thinks. So the practical application of living under the new covenant is that we no longer have to try to measure up to some perfect standard. God has already made us perfect, and all he wants us to do is, with love, strive to love him and love our neighbors as ourselves. That's the key, is love. Loving our neighbors and loving God with all of our heart, with all of our minds. That's what God is looking for under the new covenant.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.